Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. I don't know about you guys, but I am beyond fired up for this Baltimore-Buffalo epic AFC divisional round game today. And I think it's going to be an absolute heavyweight fight. And there's no reason that you can't even make it more amazing by going with Prize Picks during this game. So let's get set for a day of winning. And just remember that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Here are my picks for Sunday. First and foremost, I am going Justin Tucker, more than one half field goal made. This seems blatantly obvious to me. I feel like there are going to be a good chunk of points in this game. I do think these defenses are going to have to hold on for dear life. And for that reason, I think we're going to see a little bit of bend but don't break. And I think for that reason, we're going to see multiple field goal attempts for both teams. And for that reason, I'm going Justin Tucker, more than one half field goal made. Lamar Jackson, more than 220 and a half passing yards. Now, this could go in a variety of different directions. We could see Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson run wild on Buffalo. We could certainly see that. I have this sense that this is going to be a game where we see, I don't know, either like high 20s, low 30s, even mid 30s would not surprise me. And I think Lamar's going to have to do some of this through the air. I think Buffalo is going to be very cognizant of making sure that Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, easier said than done, but do not beat them on the ground. So Lamar Jackson, more than 220 and a half passing yards. I'm going James Cook, more than one and a half receptions. I think we're going to see Buffalo go hurry up on a couple different occasions. Again, would not surprise me if multiple points, lots of yards, and lots of passes for Josh Allen. So therefore, I am going James Cook more than one and a half receptions. And Jalen Hurts in the Philadelphia and LA game, I'm going lower than 68.4% completion percentage for Hurts. I think they're going to get after him a little bit. I think he's going to get a little bit rattled. He did not look crisp this past week against Green Bay. So I think that completion percentage is going to be lower than 68.4%. So just to recap, Justin Tucker, more than one half field goal made. Lamar Jackson, more than 220 and a half passing yards. James Cook, more than one and a half receptions. Jalen Hurts, lower than a 68.4% completion percentage. As always, there are a ton of amazing options out there for this week's slate of games, so there's no reason not to get in on the action. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50. It is guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. You are an epic human being for being here. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Always appreciate it. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews, and if you would be so kind, check out those Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships as well. We are going to get into the Packers' biggest needs this offseason. It is a shopping list that we are going to put together meticulously. There are 10 things that I think the Packers need to address to a varying degree of difference. Some of them are nice-to-haves. Others are significant needs. We'll kind of go through all of them through the course of today, but 10 things the Packers need to add to this roster in 2025. So we will put that shopping list together today. Before we get there, a couple things really quick. This is going to surprise you. It's going to stun you. It is going to shock you. So get ready. Oren Burks was officially fined for his helmet-to-helmet hit on Keyshawn Nixon by the NFL. I know that some of you are still a little bit upset about how that entire situation went down, and that the Packers lost the ball and the Eagles immediately get it and go up 7-0 in that game. I think we are all going to sleep better now, just knowing and understanding that Oren Burks was fined $8,000. I mean, I don't know how you could make any argument other than it's equal. You know, the Packers give up the ball and the Eagles go up 7-0 and Oren Burks is fined $8,000. Weigh it out. I mean, I know I feel better. I'm going to say this one more time. The better team won that game. Go back and watch the tape. Green Bay played like absolute garbage. They had no right to win that game. Now, Philly did not play great either, I will argue. There were certain aspects of their game that was good. Their defensive line was fantastic. There was other aspects that certainly were better than, for the most part, what Green Bay did in that game. But Green Bay did not bring their A game. They didn't bring their B game or C game. That was like a D minus performance from Green Bay. And if you show up with a D minus performance with multiple turnovers and three interceptions, and yet, like, I'm not bitter about this as I have been about some other games where it was very clear and obvious that maybe Green Bay was the better team and they get hosed on a call here or there. Would I have liked to seen a multiverse in which Keyshawn Nixon gets that helmet-to-helmet call, and instead of Philly getting the ball first and 10 on Green Bay's 30, it's first and 10 Green Bay on, you know, their own 45-yard line? Yeah, I would have liked to have seen how that would have ended up. Maybe the Eagles still win. Maybe the Eagles still win easily. And again, I think the Eagles were the better team in that game. I think the Eagles were the better team on the season, and I think the right team is ultimately in the divisional round game, and it didn't deserve to be Green Bay. I'll put it that way. But guess what? Sometimes deserve has nothing to do with it. And Green Bay has deserved to be in certain situations in the past, and they didn't get to do it because of reasons. And yes, I will say one more time, I'm not super bitter about this one. I think Philly was the better team, but you still can't get this crap wrong. And it's a double whammy because the helmet to helmet, and then a clear and obvious fumble recovery in a multitude of ways. Green Bay should have had that ball to start things off, and instead they didn't. And the rest was history. I'm done talking about it, but Oren Burks officially fined $8,000-ish. And I think everyone will sleep better now and feel much better about how this entire thing went down. Also, per Matt LaFleur on the Matt Schneidman show, he talked about, specifically, I should say, Matt LaFleur talked about the big plans that they had for Marshawn Lloyd and Jordan Morgan this season, talking about Marshawn Lloyd as a potential, you know, difference maker, game changer on the offensive side of the ball. And then Jordan Morgan on the offensive line, just that they thought he was continuing to get better and better and better, but just the shoulder was not cooperating. There's no real takeaway here other than the fact that this is a draft class already that, like, if you just get Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, and Javon Bullard out of it, that might be in and of itself a really good draft class. If you add in a legitimately good starter on the offensive line in Jordan Morgan and a game breaker, game changer running back in Marshawn Lloyd, this has the ability to be a fantastic class from Goody. Now, we have said this a variety of times, and then we see some sophomore slumps and guys just don't develop the way that we would hope that they would. Kind of happened this past year to a lot of players that were in the 2023 draft that took a little bit of a step back in 2024. So I'm not crowning anyone yet. But if that is the case, if Marshawn Lloyd and Jordan Morgan can come out and have really impressive 2025s, and you add that on top of Cooper, Evan Williams, and Javon Bullard, hopefully continuing to play significant roles and continuing to improve, this does have the ability to be a very good draft class from Goody. And like I said, it might be already, and it could even get better with the addition of those two, if Matt LaFleur is correct in that they think that there are big things on the way for those two particular players. With that, let us get to our biggest needs for the Packers offseason. I'm going to go from the least need to the biggest need. So number one, our final thing that we go to is going to be the Packers' biggest need. As before we do it, just think right now, what are the Packers' three biggest needs? We'll see if we're on the same page as we get to the end of this. But, and just think, are there 10 that you can write down off the top of your head that you think that are needs for this team? And I'll be clear. I don't think here, I'm just going through, I didn't do anything like, they need a intimidator or they need a new quarterbacks coach. Like, these are 10 legitimate, like, personnel things that they need on their roster. So nothing cheeky here, real legitimate 10 roster needs. We'll start with number 10, and that is a developmental slash lottery ticket quarterback. And what I mean by this is they did this last year, right? It didn't work out with Michael Pratt. That's okay. It's something that you should be doing. Sometimes Green Bay got a Ronnie Makeda. Sometimes they got an Engel Martin. Sometimes they got a Kyle Wacholtz. Those are real names. Those did not work out well, as you might have imagined. Sometimes they got a Matt Hasselbeck and a Matt Flynn. And sometimes they got a Aaron Brooks or a Mark Brunell. And it was really something that this franchise has done well. And then, of course, you could add Jordan Love and so on and so forth. You know, Aaron Rodgers to some extent to that list. Brian Brohm did not work out so well. But just adding in, and let me be crystal clear, I do not think Green Bay should be spending a first-round draft pick on a quarterback this year. That should go without saying. But it is something that this team had done well at times, is taking these developmental quarterbacks. And like I said, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't, but that's okay. And I still think it's a worthwhile practice. And, you know, Sean Clifford was one that, as of this point, has not worked out. He at least is still on the roster in some capacity, but that's where I want to see a little bit of competition, right? I don't want to see this just be Jordan Love, Malik Willis, Sean Clifford going into training camp, OTAs, mini camps, etc. I would love if there were a developmental quarterback, either via the draft, maybe undrafted free agency. Maybe you find someone in some other way, some, you know, rookie quarterback from the past that hasn't worked out the best that you can kind of bring in and maybe bring into Matt's system, similar to a Malik Willis or something like that. And he flourishes a little bit more. You never know, but they need to add something there, because here's where they sit right now. You have Jordan and he's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future. And you feel good, really good, about Malik Willis being your backup going into next season. That's an unbelievable spot for him, but he has 1 year left on his deal. So you have to think that there's a really good chance that Malik Willis is just one and done in Green Bay after this season. It's just this year. And then he goes and finds another team and tries to compete for a starting job somewhere else. And Sean Clifford did not take that step in year two. He does not give, I don't think, anyone a great feel that he could be a legitimately good backup quarterback in this league. So it's time to set out to find somebody that you think maybe could be that in 2026. You don't really need it in 2025, but you would love if you could develop somebody over the next year that in 2026 you feel like could be a backup to Jordan Love at that point in time. And maybe you take a lottery ticket and it ends up being a, you know, seventh round Brock Purdy or a sixth round Tom Brady or so on and so forth, right? You never quite know what you're going to end up with. Or maybe it's another Engel Martin, Kyle Wacholtz, Ronnie Makeda, et cetera, Michael Pratt, Sean Clifford, and it amounts to nothing. But I still think you want that guy, take a lottery ticket, take a developmental QB and see if maybe you hit on something. And if you don't, take another one next year and see if you hit on it there. That'd be great. But I think they do need to add somebody to that quarterback room, ideally with a little bit of talent that maybe you can hit on something and see what you have and that you could develop them for the next year to see if they could be the backup in 2026. Number nine is a blocking tight end. You have Tucker Kraft, really good all around tight end. You have Luke Musgrave, sort of your move tight end, you know, big wide receiver, whatever you want to call it. Ben Sims, inactive in this last playoff game, a little bit noteworthy there. He did not really take a step as a blocker or really at all, right? Like, he's a fine number three tight end, but he had a lot of opportunity this year to take a step as a number two, to be that blocking tight end, to be a more receiving tight end, to just get more snaps, and really didn't make the most of it. So much so that, again, John Fitzpatrick was active in this final game in the wildcard round, and Ben Sims was actually inactive for that game. They also have Messiah Swinson. He's more of a receiving threat tight end and, again, a practice squad guy. And then they did pick up Johnny Lumpkin, who does project a little bit more as kind of that blocking tight end. But I don't think you're going into this offseason thinking like, that's our blocking tight end. We've got him, Johnny Lumpkin. Here we go, 53-man roster guy, right? If he ends up being that, great. But you're not necessarily going into the offseason thinking that you found that. Now, John Fitzpatrick is a restricted free agent. They're not going to pay him in the upwards of $2 to $3 million to come back on a restricted free agent deal or anything like that. So they will rescind the restricted free agent offer. He will become an unrestricted free agent. My guess is that Green Bay brings him back on a one-year vet minimum deal to compete in camp, but he did not exactly wow me as a blocking tight end either. Certainly no one to the extent on this roster right now of what we saw when Green Bay had a Mercedes Lewis. Now, to be clear, those are very, very hard players to find, but I do still think that they could use that flavor of tight end in that room. They've got a good overall tight end. They've got a good receiving, or what should be a good receiving tight end. I think there's still some proving that Luke Musgrave has to do on that. They don't have that 1A blocking tight end in the room, and I would love to see them add that. I do think it's something that has value in Matt LaFleur's offense, and especially with a offense that is very predicated on Josh Jacobs' success right now. Having that extra blocking tight end could go a long way into helping him in 2025 as well. So that's number nine. Number eight is a returner. You know, we heard from Keyshawn Nixon, and whether or not he rescinds this or not, that he didn't really want to do kick returns anymore. Even if he does end up being a legitimate starting corner, I think there does end up some questions as to how much you want to put him out there. And he hasn't exactly been the same as he was as a true all-pro 2 years ago when he was fantastic in that first time that they put him back there as a returner and all the touchdowns. I know the rules have changed and things like that, but we haven't seen that same dynamic returner. And even if Nixon's back as the kick returner, everything like that, the punt returner spot still needs some work also. Jaden Reed did not really wow anyone. And, you know, he did lead the league in drops as a receiver. That gives you some trepidation of like, is that the guy that you want back there returning punts? And, or if he takes a step as a wide receiver, do you really want him back there and risking injury and wear and tear at the punt returner position? So regardless, I do think that you would like to see that returner, or at least some options at returner, right? I do think Marshawn Lloyd might be an option as a kick returner. And then they did bring in Tulu Griffin for a reserve futures deal. He has some return ability. I don't think Green Bay's banking on Tulu Griffin for anything. Yes, that is a real name. I'm not making that up. But I don't think they're banking on that for any real, there's a returner for 2025, right? So I do think that is a need at returner. And I do think adding maybe if they're going to add a receiver in the draft, maybe adding somebody that has some return ability or same thing at corner. I think that could be a value add for this team if they could find that. Number seven is linebacker depth and competition. As of right now, 5:45 p.m. on January 18th, as I'm recording this, the Packers have a total of three linebackers that are signed to contracts in 2025. Those three linebackers are Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, and Tyron Hopper. And if I had to bet, I think Green Bay would love to have those three as their three starting linebackers in base, with Quay and Cooper in nickel, and maybe Cooper in dime. If not, then Walker in dime. We'll see what happens in 2025. But I think they want those three to be their three primary linebackers. That's all well and good. But you would love some depth and you'd love some competition at the back end of that too. Not to mention that even if you pick up Quay Walker's fifth year option, that he still has, you know, only a couple of years left on his deal. And if you don't pick it up, then this would be his last year. And then you have some questions as to what that linebacker room looks like in 2026. So I do think that clearly they're going to need some depth there. You can't go into the season with three guys. They didn't even, of all the reserve future contracts, both their own guys and the other guys that they signed, not a single one of them is a linebacker, which is pretty interesting. So like I said, three linebackers under contract. Maybe they bring back an Eric Wilson, who's an unrestricted free agent. Maybe they bring back an Isaiah McDuffie, who's an unrestricted free agent. I would guess that they'll draft a linebacker at some point in the draft. That's all well and good, but they do need some depth. They do need some competition at that spot. And you'd like to see that linebacker group continue to get better. And quite frankly, if you wanted to bring in some competition at the top of that group, you know, we know Edgerrin Cooper is going to play a ton, but you know, competition for Quay and Hopper, I would certainly not be too upset with that either. So I'd love some depth. I would love some competition, get more bodies in that room and see if you can hit on something that can even push Quay and Hopper and those guys. Number six, this one probably goes a little bit without saying. You could theoretically put it a little bit higher on this list if you wanted to as well, but that's kicker. Now, we heard from Brian Gutekunst that Brandon McManus is somebody that they want back. I'd be willing to bet that Brandon McManus is back, that they work out a contract that makes sense for both sides. He seemed to like Green Bay. He did well in Green Bay, and it just would seem to make logical sense. But as of right now, the only kicker that's under contract is Alex Hale, International Pathway Program player. And that clearly would be an issue if you were going into a game today with only players under contract. So it might be obvious, and maybe the Brandon McManus and Green Bay Packer reunion is just a matter of time. But as we sit here today, kicker is still a need, and that's why it is number six on this list. Number five is a run-stopping extraordinaire at defensive tackle. TJ Slayton's a free agent. He's your only 330-pound. He's the only guy. There's only one guy above 305 on this team, which is Kenny Clark, and he's at 314. And the days of Kenny Clark just dominating as a run stuffer in the middle of the defense, at least based on this past year, seem to be over. I still think Kenny can be a good player. I don't know if he can live up to that contract or not based on this last season, but you know, he's not going to kill you out there. He's going to be an okay, you know, solid, average, good rotational player, but I don't know that he can be that full-time guy for you. And if you lose Slayton, everyone else is 305 pounds or less. Carl Brooks is a three technique. Colby Wooden's a three technique. Devontae Wyatt's a three technique. And all of the guys that they signed to reserve future deals, Nesta Jade Silvera, also a real name, James Esther, Keith Randolph, Leonard Payne, all those guys, yes, are actually on this team right now. All three techniques as well, or at least, you know, all under 305 pounds. So they don't have that big run-stopping defensive tackle. There's no Jonathan Ford left. Remember, he went to the Bears. The Bears signed him off the practice squad. There's nobody. So either you got to bring back a TJ Slayton, or you got to find somebody else that is capable of being that run-stopping defensive tackle. And quite frankly, I would argue you might even need two. So that's an interesting one to kind of keep an eye on, and how they kind of, you know, build that position a little bit, because you do have guys that are there. I would expect Clark, Wyatt, Brooks, and Wooden all to make the team next year. It's not a guarantee. You know, Wooden could be somebody that kind of finds his way out if he doesn't take a step, but I would expect all four to be on the team. But they might want a pass rusher there. They might want a run defender or two, and that could change up the calculus there. But they need to at least find one. And again, maybe that's just TJ Slayton. That's fine. But I do think they need to address that and figure out somebody who can be that guy, because right now under contract, They don't have that guy. Kenny Clark would be it today, but that's all they have. And then you also run into the problem of if Kenny Clark gets hurt, you're just running with three techniques. That's all you have left. So they're going to have to address that in some real way this offseason. Numbers 4, 3, and 2 are a lot more difficult, and you could order them in any way that you want, and I wouldn't be upset. Number 1, I feel confident in. Number 2, 3, 4, be my guest. If you want number 4 to be number 2 to be 3, 3 to be whatever, I get it. I understand it. I'm not going to be upset by it, and feel free to reorder these three in any way that you would like. I'm going number 4 as wide receiver. Now, this is the tough part about wide receiver for me. It's not that you just need a wide receiver, right? Adding in another competitive player in that group doesn't do you a whole heck of a lot. You've got 6 competitive guys, and specifically Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, you know, Romeo Dobbs, Christian Watson, once he gets healthy again, and then to maybe a little bit lesser extent, Bo Melton and Malik Heath. But you've got some players, some depth and those sort of things on this roster right now. It's not necessarily that you are lacking in depth at wide receiver, but it's that you're lacking that go-to wide receiver. So it's a more difficult conversation of like, yes, I would like to see Green Bay maybe look at that and say, all right, we have a legitimate need at that spot and we need to address it. But if they don't do that, if they don't go get kind of let's just say a Davante Adams or somebody like that, just bringing in, I don't know, some, you know, I don't even know what a great example of this would be. Trying to think of like a wide receiver that's in the league that is like a just kind of a middle tier wide receiver that would kind of fit this bill, you know, to some real extent. I don't know if it's like this is probably too far in the direction, but like a Tim Patrick for the Lions, or you know, just bringing it, you know, like what they, let's just put it this way, what they did with Sammy Watkins or a Devin Funchess, or like just adding a receiver to their room to add a receiver to the room, that to me doesn't do anything. In that case, just go with Melton and Heath and Wicks and Dobbs and Reed and Watson and see if they can take a step next year. I don't need a guy for the sake of getting a guy. So that's where this is different. Do I think that they should go out and get somebody who can really be kind of that pseudo number one wide receiver? Yeah, I think they probably should. I think they need somebody that can consistently beat man-to-man coverage. And I think they probably need to give Jordan a nice shiny toy, somebody that he feels comfortable with and that he can go to in some go-to situations. I think that would personally, I think that would help Jordan Love to a real extent. But if they don't get that 1A guy, then yes, they should probably draft somebody in the top 100, just kind of keep, you know, bringing in some talent and some exciting players. I think that's worthwhile. But again, I don't just need a mid-tier wide receiver for the sake of like, oh, we got somebody. That doesn't do anything for me. Then again, just play Wicks, Reed, Watson, Dobbs, Heath, Melton, etc. So either do what you want to do and go get that guy, or just take another couple guys in the draft, bring some competition in and see who rises to the top. That's how I kind of look at it. So I do think it's a need. They have Christian Watson that's going to be hurt. You have Dobbs, Reed, Wicks, Melton, Heath that are coming back. And then you have three, you know, exclusive rights free agents kind of guys. Reserve practice squad guys. Excuse me, reserve futures contracts guys. Cornelius Johnson, Tulu Griffin, and Julian Hicks also under contract right now for Green Bay. Again, you're not making any decisions based on those guys, but that's what the depth chart looks at right now. That glaring spot is at the top of the wide receiver depth chart, not at the number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spot of the depth chart. They have enough of those guys. They need kind of that top tier guy. Number 3 is offensive line depth and competition. I really do believe that Green Bay is going to feel like, hey, we've got Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, Zach Tom. We've got a starting 5 of our offensive line. Now, Josh Myers and Andre Dillard are unrestricted free agents that they're going to have to make some determinations on. They have Kadeem Telfort, Jacob Monk, and Travis Glover coming back. So they kind of have 8 of their guys coming back next year right now. 5 likely starters, and then Telfort, Monk, and Glover hopefully taking a step. But they're going to need some reinforcements, and I would love some competition. They also have Donovan Jennings, Marquise Hayes, and Trey Hill as those future contract signees. But you're looking at this right now, and I would love some competition for the, you know, number 4 or 5 spots along this offensive line. I'd love more depth. And you saw in this game against the Eagles when they were missing Elton Jenkins, when they, you know, when guys started to go down, when Josh Myers went down, of course, Jordan Morgan already out, you know, the Travis Glovers and the Kadeem Telfords were not hanging out there. And that's a problem, and it can become a problem very, very quickly. So I do think Green Bay is going to have to add in some competition, some depth. Probably this is going to likely be via the draft. But I wouldn't hate if they really went out and tried to find a guy that could really bring this offensive line to the next level too. Don't necessarily expect them to do it, but I would not hate if they went in that direction. And I think that is number three for a reason. And I would rather actually solidify the offensive line and make that better than go out and get that alpha, because the alpha wide receiver, to me, solidifying the offensive line is a force multiplier. It's going to make your quarterback better. It's going to make Josh Jacobs better by giving the quarterback more time and making him better. It's going to make your receivers better. They're going to have more time to develop into their route, excuse me. And so I think that that is going to be something that's a bit more important. If you ask most GMs in the league, what's going to elevate them better, a really good offensive lineman or a really good wide receiver, most would tell you the really, really good offensive lineman is going to elevate your team more than a really good wide receiver would. I know it doesn't seem that way from a fantasy football perspective and a Madden perspective and everything else, but more often than not, it's the trenches that's going to win you, and you can get by with wide receivers. You know, again, I'll be very clear. Like I just said, I would love another top tier wide receiver on this team. No question about it. But that's why offensive line is just a step ahead of wide receiver for me. Number two is corner. You've got Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, and Javon Bullard coming back. They were kind of your starting three at the end of the season. Valentine and Nixon on the outside, Bullard in the slot. You're going to have a decision to make on Jair Alexander. Eric Stokes, Robert Rochelle, and Corey Ballantyne are all unrestricted free agents. Kamal Haddon, Caleb Hayes, Kalen King, and Isaiah Dunn are all exclusive rights free agents. Reserve future free agents, whatever you want to call them. Now I'm all messed up on this. Reserve future free agents. Exclusive rights are your guys that haven't signed their contracts yet. My apologies for continuing to mess up the terminology. Your reserve future free agents are Kamal Haddon, Caleb Hayes, Kalen King, and Isaiah Dunn. But I digress. You have some question marks here, certainly from a depth standpoint, right? Let's assume Jair Alexander's gone. We'll see what happens, but let's just assume it for the sake of this. Again, and right now, Stokes, Rochelle, Ballantyne are unrestricted free agents. The rest of your guys are, again, non-proven. So you're going into this offseason really thinking you've got Valentine and Nixon as true corners with Bullard, a safety that can play in the slot. Like, that's not enough. You need depth. You need competition. You would love competition for Nixon. You'd love competition for Carrington Valentine. You're probably going to need to address this position both in free agency and in the draft. Unless you bring back Jair Alexander, then maybe you can get by just with addressing it via the draft. But this is definitely a need, and they're going to have to address it to me in a variety of different ways. I'll say one more time, wide receiver, offensive line, corner. If you want to mix those up in any different order from 2 through 4, I don't have a major issue with it. I think you can make arguments for all of them. But number one on my list is pass rusher. And it's hard to argue anything against it. I don't think the pass rush was quite as bad as people think, but it certainly did not hit the levels that anyone in Green Bay was expecting. It felt like every pass rusher took a step back this past year. You know, maybe Brenton Cox to some extent was slightly ahead of expectations because you just didn't know what you were going to get out of him from at all. But Rashawn Gary, Enagbare, LVN, Brenton Cox, Aaron Mosby are your edge rushers going into this offseason. Kenny Clark, Carl Brooks, Devontae Wyatt, Colby Wooden are your defensive tackles. You've got TJ Slayton as an unrestricted free agent, not that he's a pass rusher. Anyway, Deslon Alexander and Jeremiah Martin, your reserve future contracts at defensive end, and then Nesta, Jade Silvera, James Esther, Keith Randolph, and Leonard Payne at defensive tackle. That's what you're going into the offseason with. There's not a lack of bodies here per se, but there is a lack of a top-tier pass rusher. We'll go over in the coming days of some names that may make sense there. But that, to me, they've got to get one more guy that can really cause some chaos, get to the quarterback, and make it so that they're more likely to win some of those one-on-ones when given the opportunity. Adding a new defensive line coach should, I think, help as well. And maybe these guys can just take a step next year or play closer to the level of their expectation, but still adding in a little bit more juice to that group could go a very long way. Just to recap it, my top 10 needs for the Packers from a personnel standpoint this offseason: number 10, developmental/lottery ticket QB. Number 9, a blocking tight end. 8 is a returner. 7 is linebacker depth and competition, I should say. 6 is a kicker. 5 is a run-stopping defensive tackle. 4 is a wide receiver. 3 is offensive line depth and or competition. 2 is corner. And 1 is pass rusher. Let me know what you guys think. Would you order it differently? What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? Would love to hear from you guys. Hit me up in those comments. I will be right back here tomorrow, of course, with an all new episode of the Packaday podcast. So make sure to check that out. Again, like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Always appreciate that a ton. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Allison Tuckwab, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I will see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.